news is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it is to be able to gather this morning to be able to worship our Savior Jesus. He didn't have to come. There was no good in us, but he came out of mercy, out of love for us. And what a blessing. No other way we could be saved but through Jesus Christ humbling himself and providing a way of salvation. Well, as we think about the gospel, we as a local church, we support a variety of different ministries and missionaries. And we couple together. We come alongside of other local independent Baptist churches and support monthly of these missionaries. We are not the only ones. Maybe you're not familiar with how this process works, but we're not the only ones that support the Martins. There are other churches that band together and provide them with monthly support, in addition to, of course, the ministry of the Bearing Precious Seed ministry there. And so I want to thank you for your faithful gifts unto the Lord in the area of missions. And I will say this, that all of the missions money that we give as a church is designated. And so perhaps you're not giving consistently in the area of missions. No better time to start than today. You can give weekly, you can give monthly, you can give a lump sum gift to the area of missions. And that money that's designated will go into our missions program, enabling us to support good folks like the Martins. As he mentioned in Sunday school, they've been doing this for a good long while. I think back with Moses, I think it was something like so. But he's been doing this for a while. He and his wife serving together in this ministry. It'll be 25 years next September, from the way I understand. And so we are so thankful for them, thankful for their faithfulness, but not only that, but their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Brother Sam, if you could come and preach the word to us today.
Good to be here. See a few more faces than I did in Sunday school. So for those that are new, don't know us, my wife Barbara and I, we've been doing this ministry now since September the 1st, 2001. I was in the military stationed in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Been in church all my life. My dad was a pastor and then became a missionary, but I praise the Lord that he allowed me to be raised in a good Christian home and to be able to know about him and to know him as my Lord and Savior, but to be able to get involved. But I moved to Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I fought for the military, but the Lord says, no, that's not why. It's because I want you to meet this man that's doing this ministry, who introduced me to the ministry in 2000. Surrendered to do the ministry, and I look back now since September the 1st, 2001, at all the things that the Lord has allowed me to do, and I praise the Lord for it. But I've got to be able to print over 24 million scripture and to send to 36 countries of the world as a result of being involved in the ministry. And so I praise the Lord for allowing us to do that. It's been a blessing all these years to do it. Now, for those that don't know, that wasn't here at Sunday school, we are raising money to buy paper. We have the press at our church, and we run the rolls of paper through that, prints both sides, folds the thing up, and then we have a John and Romans. And that is what we teach, what? Jesus Christ, and then how to be saved. And we praise the Lord for what he's done. I have literally been able to hear testimonies of people that have been saved as a result of the ministry in several countries of the world. I'm looking forward to going to Thailand in January because it's summertime there. That's not the reason why. But I am going to go to Thailand, Lord willing, in January and get to meet a bunch of the pastors and see the people there and the ministry that's going on and how the Lord has used that scripture in Thailand. But I've had that privilege in several countries, and it's been neat to be able to see men that have been saved, go to Bible college, and are now pastoring churches that have been started because somebody invested in them, John and Romans. They got saved, and then now they're following the Lord to do what he's asking them to do. So thank you for your part in and helping us with it. We have, like I said, about 3 million requested for 2020. 6. Yes, it's almost that time, isn't it? Got to change that over. But you pray for us as we go out there and do that work and be able to send it to those people in need. If you would, turn this morning to Matthew chapter number 13. I love talking about missions, and singing all of the Christmas songs was wonderful, but we wouldn't have anything to sing about and to celebrate if it was just another person that was born named Jesus Christ. But because of Him and what He did and what He does for all mankind, we're able to celebrate. And I praise the Lord for this time of year. In fact, we were down in Oklahoma City with our youngest daughter, her husband, and two little kids, 4 and 1, not quite 1. And I'll tell you, it was wonderful, but we had a good Thanksgiving. Didn't have stuffing, just stuffed ourselves with turkey and dressing and noodles, and oh yeah, it was wonderful. But then I got to thinking, we got in the vehicle, and one of the things that they like to do, and I like to do too, is we went and drove through an affluent neighborhood in Oklahoma City that has a bunch of lights. Now, it was disappointing in the fact that only one had a manger scene. All the rest of them, hundreds of them, are the commercialization of Christmas, when they should be celebrating Christ. It was neat to be able to see all of those lights and to be able to see the festivity that they're portraying, but they really need to know Jesus Christ. And so we were able to go and to see those lights and then to come home. And then last night as we were driving up here from Oklahoma City, we were looking for lights, and there wasn't a whole lot of them on 39 Highway from Mount Vernon up here. Wonder why. A little more rural. We love rural, and we praise the Lord for it. Matthew chapter number 13, we're going to read the first 17 verses, and it is a missions message because that is why we are here. It was kind of hard as we're singing Christmas songs to not think about a Christmas message, but the Lord wants me to focus this morning on missions because that's what we're here for. That's what He came from glory for. He came from heaven to give us salvation. And He wants us to understand it and be able to tell others about Him as well. It says that verse number 1, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Now, I'm going to pause right there because we don't see in America really a multitude of people. This brings to my mind when I went to India, okay? Can you imagine 1 billion people more than what the United States has? Their population is 1 billion people more than the United States. And in 1/3 of the land space of the United States. That's hard for us to comprehend. In fact, most people can't comprehend. But when I think about this and I read, the first point that we're going to look at this morning is a great multitude were gathered unto Him. I can remember everywhere I went in India, masses of people. Masses of people. And He said they were there what? And the same day, Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, a great multitude were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. I can picture that from my times of being along the ocean and seeing what it would look like from the ocean looking in. But you know why He did that? It's because the sound carried inland. But that's not really what I want to look at this morning. I want us to look at the fact that there was a great multitude of people. Can you imagine our Lord and Savior, who knows everything about us, has this great multitude of people that are on the seashore, and why are they there? Probably like most of us, we either have a curiosity and we want to see what everybody's going to go see. Or maybe it was because they knew who Christ was and heard about the miracles that He had been working, and maybe they were there to have a miracle done in their life, to have them healed. Or maybe it's because they wanted to hear what he was saying, because what he was saying was so powerful. And we can't even put that in perspective, but let me help you here. He spoke the world into existence. Wow. And here he is in a ship speaking to this great multitude of people that are on the beach, knowing everything about them, but knowing that he had the message that they needed to hear. You know what the world is out there? Our mission field that is waiting for us to give that great multitude out there the message of Jesus Christ. We aren't him. We will never be. But at the same time, he's given us his word, and he's told us what he wants us to tell them. If you're saved this morning, aren't you glad somebody told you about Christ? Aren't you glad that you have him as your Lord and Savior now? Praise the Lord. That's what it was. He started here with a great multitude of people that were out there, and he was going to give them the message that he then tells them. Verse number 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. The fowls of the air came and devoured them up. And some fell among stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whoso hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundant. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. And this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have been closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see these things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. You see, we have the privilege of reading in the Bible and understanding, I pray, from our reading, what this parable means. And then it goes on in verse number 19 down through 31 to tell more specifically about what each one of those areas are. Let me first start off with this. There's only one seed that we need to sow, and that's the Word of God. We have a lot of times that we have people that are false prophets, or people that are religious, but they know not Christ as their Savior. They don't have Jesus in their heart. They've never taken the opportunity to hear and to be able to accept him as their Lord and Savior. And here we find that that seed that needs to be planted into the hearts of man isn't some good deed or something that is financial or spiritual or whatever the world might put it as on a worldly perspective, but what they need to hear is the Word of God. They need to have that seed planted in their heart so that they may know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we have that seed. In fact, we know from the Bible and what it says that the seed is the Word of God. In Luke, it tells us the parallel passage there about this. And it says the seed is the Word of God. How many of us hear things and hear good things, but we know that sometimes that's not the truth about it? But yet when you hear the seed, the Word of God being spoken, we know that it's truth, right? We sing about in songs about Jesus and how that He was born and came to earth so that we might know Him. How He died on the cross. We have that seed that we can plant in our own heart so that we might grow to be more like Him. Unfortunately, we have a bunch of people nowadays that have that seed in their heart, but it's just like what this scripture is telling us here. There's different things that happen. The first thing, verse number 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understand it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. There is he which receives seed by the wayside. And he that received the seed is stony place. And the same is he that heareth the word and anon with joy receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution rise because of the word, by and by is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and care of this world and the deceitfulness of the riches choke the word and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed is the good ground, is he that heareth the word and understand it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You see, we find here four specific types of soil that is mentioned. We have, first off, we have the type of the soil there of what? The wayside. Those that might hear the Word of God, and they might accept Him as their Lord and Savior, but there is nothing else that ever happens in their life. Praise the Lord, they got saved, right? But wouldn't it be nice for them to be able to grow, to have somebody that would disciple them, to show them, and them to be able to receive more abundant blessing than just knowing Christ as their Savior? We have here also, we have those that are in stony ground, verse number 20. But he that receiveth the seed into stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receive it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arise because of the word, by and by he's offended. How many of us know people that is that way? Oh, they may have accepted Christ as their Savior, but then they get distracted. They get tempted of the things of the world. They lose focus on, or maybe they backslide and they're not really doing what they're supposed to be. Yes, they have the Lord as their Savior, but they come to church and they never grow. Or maybe they miss and don't really come to church because they don't have a desire to grow. Or maybe they're distracted by their friends that say, hey, come and do this with me instead of going to church. Or, you know, it won't hurt you just this one time to do this instead. And yeah, you may in your church not believe that you should do that, but it won't hurt, you know. You can ask for forgiveness. And we have a lot of church people that are out there that's like, praise the Lord, I got fire insurance, but I don't want to do what I'm supposed to for the Lord. That's where that stony ground is. And there's a lot of people out there that have accepted Christ as their Savior, but their hearts of stone and really don't want to know more about Christ and what He really has in store for you. I look back at my life and I thank the Lord for knowing Christ as my Savior, and I thank the Lord for dwelling with me in all of the things and places that I've been involved in and the things that I've done, and praise Him for safety, praise Him for blessings, praise Him for all of the wonderful things that He's done for me. Wow. I could go into Thanksgiving service right again. Praise Him for it. But you know what? There's a bunch of people that are that stony ground, and they may have accepted Christ as Savior, but they don't have a desire. Maybe it's because of the influence of the world that's on them that they are still in a stony situation. Then we find in verse number 22, the third kind, and it said, "He also that receiveth seed among thorns, or heareth the word, and cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." You know what? I would have to say that that's probably the majority of people in this world that have accepted Christ as their Savior. They're there, and they hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke it out. You know, I was in the military for 25 years, and I thank the Lord for it. I don't like some of the aspects of what they wanted me to do. There's this thing as an officer that they try to make you get involved in all of these wonderful things to help out humanity around the world. Give to this and go volunteer time for that, and you know, all those things, as well as be military. The things that you're supposed to do in order to be successful and to have your name known so that you can climb to the next level on the ladder for promotion and stuff like that. And I praise the Lord, I never got wrapped up in that. I tried to always do what I knew was right according to the Bible, and tried to have the right witness and testimony, and let that worry about it as I was gaining rank in the military and being able to stay in. But you know, the same thing is happening in this world. There's too many of us. In order to make it in the profession that we are, we have to do this or we have to do that in order to climb that ladder. In order to be successful, we need to do, and sometimes we have that deceitful thing for riches come involved. I was at a church one time years ago, and I heard the story about how that, and we're going to talk a little bit of money here just as a warning, okay? Don't turn me off. But the church was struggling. They couldn't make ends meet. And I know that's not this church, okay? But maybe it's a reminder that we need to do what's right. And they were not giving of their tithes. They were not giving offerings. They were not doing what they were supposed to be doing. And there was this man in the church that was a pretty successful man. And so they asked him to be the treasurer of the church. And he says, okay, on one condition, he says, I'll be glad to become the treasurer of our church. He says, don't ask me any questions, and I'll give you an annual report at the end of the year. So they let him be the treasurer of the church. And it was a rural community, okay? And so he ran the grain elevator in town. And so he prayed and he tried to do the right things. And the end of the year, everybody's noticing the bills are being paid, noticing things that are being improved and things that are going on. And at the end of the year, they said, okay, so give us your financial report. And he told how that the church had a lot of money in the bank account, and we were able to pay all of our bills, and we were able to do this and to give this. And they asked him, well, how did that happen? He says, well, as you brought your grain into the elevator, I just took the tithe off of it in order to make things happen. How many times do we in our life think that we're going to short the Lord and tithes and offerings when He asks us to give? We don't do because we want a more selfish thing instead of giving to Him what He's just giving to us. You see, we could go into tithing, and we could go into missions, and we could go into offering. We could tell a lot about money, but you know what? This verse does a pretty good job there. It's all the same thing. Deceitfulness of riches. You see, the world would like to tell us that in order to be successful, we got to have a nice big house that's paid for, we got to have nice vehicles to drive, and we got to have this nice bank account, and we got to have this retirement plan, and all those things that revolve around. But let me remind you that when you pass away, and nobody knows when that might be, there's no hearse that brings that bank account and puts it in the ground with you. And if it did, it wouldn't do you any good. You see, the Bible tells us that we're to lay up treasures in heaven. We're supposed to be able to give and to do what God wants us to do with them here. I look back on my life and I tell you, I don't have a big bank account. There's been times I'd like to have a bank account. But you know what I've tried to do? Is to seek the Lord's will for what He wants me to do with the funds He's entrusted to me. And I'm laying up treasures in heaven. I'm able to do this ministry and we're be able to print scripture. And even before I started doing this ministry, even as a kid, I was given to missions. I was involved in tithing. I was involved in the ministry of the church financially. Why? Because that's God's plan. He wants us to do. But too many times we listen to the world and we get wrapped up in the deceitfulness of riches. And then look what the next three words are. It chokes out the word. You see, if we listen to the world and what they tell us, those briars and those brambles, those stickers are out there to snare us, to get us, to make us say out, and to think about what the world wants us to think about instead of the truth. And you know what? We need to just do what God wants us to do with what He entrusts us with. We need to give to the tithes. We need to give to missions. We need to give to the actions of the church so that others might know Christ. When you pass away, and by the way, you don't know when that's going to be, wouldn't it be nice to think that you invested in so that somebody will be in heaven and you'll get to see them? You know, just a dear friend of ours at a church over in southeast Kansas had worked scripture for a number of years in Girard. And every time they were there, sometimes two or three times a week, they was faithful to be there to put scripture together. Brother Reno would tell me, he says, Brother Martin, he says, I love it when you bring us scripture so that we can work it. He says, I may not be able to do a whole lot of things, but he says, I know how to fish for men. He loved fishing physically, but he knew that putting those scripture together was a way that he could be actively involved in getting the Word of God out to people around the world, and he knew that people would get saved as a result of it. You see, we need to start investing our time. We need to invest our money. Why? So that others might be in heaven with us rather than us have a nice big bank account. We stand before the Lord and He says, okay, so what did you do when I asked you to do this for your church? A missionary came and he said he had a need, and what did you do? You know, you've got $1 million in the bank right now, and those kids that don't serve the Lord are going to be spending that frivolously and foolishly and on things that they shouldn't. When I've invited you several times over the years to invest in things that I wanted you to invest in so that there'd be people in heaven. I think about that every day as I go around this world. What am I doing to lay up treasures in heaven? What am I doing to do what God wants me to be doing and not let the words of the world choke out what the Lord is convicting me to do with the money that He gives me? Yeah, we need to be right about what we do here on earth and how we take care of things. But you know what? I love the blessings of when the Lord says, Samuel, give to this missionary or give to this cause or help your church in this, and I do it. And the Lord stretches that dollar out to make it meet all the needs at the end. I live on a fixed income too. And I praise the Lord for my retirement. It's been wonderful to be able to have that. But you know what? We still invest as the Lord tells us to invest. We give to missions and we get involved in ministries of the church. Why? Because we don't want the snares of riches to become deceitful and to choke out the word from God and telling us what to do. Too many people are involved in that. Here we are getting ready to go into Christmas time frame and to give and to help people, right? As well as to be able to spend money on gifts for somebody. praise the Lord, we're allowed to give a gift. But wouldn't it be wonderful to give the gift of eternal life to somebody around the world as a result of a small investment? The ministry that we're involved in, we do John and Romans, and we can get a John and Romans for about a quarter a copy anywhere in the world. We can get a New Testament anywhere in the world for about $1.30 a copy. Bibles, they're a little more expensive, but you know what? They need to have. Can you imagine your pastor not having the whole word be able to preach to you just out of John and Romans? Or maybe, like I have a copy of a single piece of paper that church had for 40 years behind the Iron Curtain. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to invest in somebody's life who becomes a Sunday school teacher, becomes a pastor, becomes a missionary? I've had the privilege to be able to talk to people that's happened to. I was in India in 2017 and preaching about the Word of God and the importance and the power of the Word of God and listening to the Word of God and doing what the Word of God tells us to do. And we got done with that service, and three young men, probably in their mid-20s, they came up and they said, "Brother Martin," this is of course through a translator because I don't know Tamil language, but they came up and they said, "Brother Martin, because of your investment of getting scripture to us here in India, we got saved at 17, 18 years old, each of the three men." And they said, "What do we do now?" And the Lord said, "Go to Bible college." And they went to Bangalore to the Bible college. And now they're pastoring churches in India as a result of somebody giving the money in order to give a John and Romans to them so that they can know Christ as their Savior. I've had the privilege to be able to speak to many, many people in many different countries who can tell about Christ coming in their heart and saving them, and how that now they're investing in the lives of other people. And that's all to your account because you've involved in the ministry, and I praise the Lord for that. But that's where we need to be investing our riches in, rather than the deceitfulness of riches which choke out what the Word tells us to do. We're to invest. If we give Him our life, then He's got our pocketbook. Let that sink in for a little bit. Because if He has our heart, it controls here too. Or ladies, your purse. We need to be able to give to the world the riches. Yeah, think of this. Christ came from glory, where they paved the streets of gold. And here we are looking for gold, and that's what they use for asphalt, for gravel drives, for gravel roads. They use gold. You can't outgive the Lord. And He's got something more important and of a wiser investment if we just do what He's asking us to do with the funds that He gives us. And praise the Lord, He gives us the funds so that we can do it. And He'll never ask us to do more than what He gives us the funds to make happen. Last point here, we see here the good ground. "And he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understand it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You know, I love going up to my son-in-law's farm in South Dakota. And I love to go up there, and I love during harvest time to see what has happened because of one seed being planted in the ground. You ever thought about that? You take one kernel of corn and you put it in the ground, and it grows this plant that puts this ear or two ears on it that has roughly about 860, 870 kernels because of the one. You know, that's an illustration for us that if we die to self, we have Christ in our heart, the seed, the Word of God. If we have that in our heart, we know Him as our Lord and Savior. If we die to self, we could be like that plant that produces ears of corn. I don't know how many people have been saved as a result of the Scripture ministry, but I can tell you this, it's in the hundreds of thousands. Why? Because I've had the privilege to go to a lot of places and to hear the testimonies, or have emails that are sent, or text messages, WhatsApp messages sent. It's wonderful to hear that there are results coming in from one seed that was planted, died to self, and now is increasing. If you take a kernel of corn, and if it had on there 864 kernels of corn, and if each one of those kernels of corn was to plant in the ground and produce a cob of corn just like it, 864 kernels, you know that there would be 746,497 kernels of corn. That's a lot, isn't it? But if you take the second year and you take all of that 746,496 kernels, excuse me, I said seven, I should have said six, okay? And you plant them and they grow another cob of corn, you know how many kernels of corn would be? 644,972,544 kernels of corn. Just think about this church. I don't know how many people's here this morning. I'm not going to count heads. And I don't know how many people here are saved in this here this morning. But if every one of us died to self and was able to witness to somebody else and see him to know Christ as our Savior, we'd double in number, right? Because every one of us. You invest in missions. I looked at your missions letters on the wall. You're letting those people sow seed to represent as well the increase of this church. And over the years, how many people have been saved right here as a part of the church's outreach in this community and around here? I don't know how many miles you drive from, but praise the Lord you're here this morning. I know your pastor is probably enthused to see you here. But how many people have been saved as a result of the efforts of this church? Somebody died to self and told you about Jesus Christ so that you may know, right? Yeah. And you're investing money into missionaries who are sending scripture around the world, or they're going themselves and speaking to people and handing out tracts and presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as the answer, which he is. And the thousands of people that are being saved as a result of that around the world, and that's another one of those kernels. Look at the Apostle Paul. He went to several locations and started several churches and won thousands to the Lord, right, in his ministry. And after he died, those individuals that he had won, or even before he had passed away, were winning people. And winning people, and winning people. And today, there's millions around the world that know Christ as their Savior. All because of Paul and what he did. I don't know about you. I'm no great evangelist. I'm no great missionary. I'm just a person like you that wants to serve the Lord. How many people do you witness to? Do you see that seed as one that dies to self, and now you want to see other kernels of corn being produced as a result of? I do. I don't know how many people have been saved as a result of the ministry, but I know one thing. The Lord said, die to self so that others might live. That's what they're talking about in that soil, this good ground. It's people that care enough to plant that seed, nourish it, and see it 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. You know that if most Christians would just reach one person for the Lord each year, we'd double in numbers, right? But I would pray that we do more than that. It'd be nice to think that we could produce in our lifetime 864 kernels of corn, just one cob of corn. Or maybe more than that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Do you take that as a challenge? Do you hear the word of God says, I'm going to bless if you just tell people about me. It'll produce fruit. It will increase. It's not going to return void. It's going to accomplish that which he pleases. And what does he please? That people get to know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. I don't know about you, but it's Christmas time. What a wonderful opportunity to tell people Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. Merry Christmas. Shock them. Let them know, and then they look at you kind of funny. Don't let them take the advantage. Just go ahead and tell them, yeah, I say Christmas because I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. He's the reason we're celebrating this. And that's planting that seed, dying to self, and taking the opportunity to tell them about Christ at this important time of year. And who knows? Somebody witnessed all those great evangelists and missionaries in the past. And there's going to be some good evangelist pastors and missionaries in the future. But we never know when we witness to one person what they might be, right? Wouldn't it be nice to think that they too are going to do what's required of them and tell others about Christ as well? And next thing you know, we have 644 million little kernels of corn because we took the opportunity and we wanted to see an increase rather than it being in the wayside, in stony ground, in thorny ground. Wouldn't you like to be that seed that's in the good soil and seeing other people get to know Christ as their Savior? Maybe this holiday season that we're in, we need to just plant more seeds and let more people know about Jesus Christ. Make it an opportunity and seize it to let others know. Not because we're looking for somebody else to count, but because we're looking for somebody else to get to know Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let's take the opportunity to be a planter, sowing the seed. And then, as the Lord gives us people that get to know Christ as their Savior, get them involved in church so that they don't go by the wayside. They don't fall in stony area. They don't get amongst the thorns. But they're in good ground as well. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes this morning. I'm going to have a word of prayer and then turn the invitation over to your pastor. But I want you to think about this morning, this season in which we're in, and being a planter, sowing, telling people about Christ as He gives us an opportunity. Lord, I thank You for this scripture that You've given to us. Lord, hear that You give this parable so that others might know You as their Lord and Savior. I thank You for this church and their wonderful outreach and the opportunities that You give them each and every day. Lord, I pray that they would just spread the word, the seed, so that others might know You as their Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor.